This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, as always, thanks for tuning in. It's probably an understatement to say that Oakland County's importance is really, really huge here in Michigan. It is the second most populated county in Michigan. It's where some of the state's most highly educated residents reside, and it's also a significant driver of the state's economy, of course, with a lot of white-collar jobs that are located there. But what's really fascinating about Oakland County over the last decade or so is how much it is changing demographically. There is a much broader mix of people from different ethnic and racial and class backgrounds who have been moving to Oakland County than was true in the past. And that means the politics of the area are starting to change too. Oakland County now leans pretty liberal and supported both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden in national elections. All of the countywide offices are now held by Democrats as well. But, of course, those political changes are shaking up local elections as well. We've got new districts in Oakland County, as we do in the rest of the state, and it's unclear, at least as of right now, what all of this is going to look like when we go to the polls on August 2nd for primary elections. That's where we want to continue the conversation here on Detroit Today with a closer look at Oakland County. And I will say up front that this is the beginning of an extended discussion about local politics here in Southeast Michigan as we get closer to those August 2nd primaries. We will be talking about races in Wayne and Macomb and other places here in Southeast Michigan as well. And of course, we will be talking about the congressional races that are pretty tight in some cases as well. But we want to start with Oakland County, and we've got two people who I think it's fair to say are experts on politics in Oakland County to help us sort through it. Dennis Darnoy is a Republican political consultant who tracks voter data and joins us from time to time to talk about politics. Dennis, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you for having me on, Stephen.
And Dave Woodward is the chair of the Oakland County Board of Commissioners, a longtime activist and Democrat in Oakland County. Dave Woodward, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you, Stephen. It's great to be back.
Yeah. So, Dave, as I said, Oakland County has changed a lot over the past decade or so. I can remember when you and I used to talk about the difficulty that Democrats had and that the Democratic Party was having in getting real traction in Oakland County. That is not something we would find ourselves talking about today. So give us a sense of how the demographics have changed and how that's changed the political dynamics there, and then how that looks with this new redraw, which is the first redistricting effort with Oakland County looking more liberal than it has in its past.
Sure. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. I mean, over the last 25 years, we've seen a massive reversal of where Oakland County, historically this conservative bastion in Southeast Michigan, now a progressive block of voters is necessary for any statewide candidate elected, and frankly, a direct contributor to Democrats taking Congress back in 2018. It's really a balance of two things. I think that the electorate, and you at the top of the show, you talked about some of the demographics at place, the education level, the diversity. Oakland County historically has been socially more progressive, fiscally responsible, and I think those things haven't really changed. What has changed is as Democratic candidates have been talking about jobs, income, healthcare, education, things that actually, we believe are necessary. The government's role is to live to set the stage to make people's lives better. Republicans have made move further and further away to make it clear that they, frankly, are standing to enforce the extremist views on others. And most recently, obviously with the Supreme Court ruling on abortion rights, but a whole host of things. And that is driving a wedge. Every time the Republican moves further and further to the right, Oakland County voters move further and further to support Democratic candidates. And how that plays out in primaries, those issues that motivate people are front and center. So we're talking about raising wages. We're talking about access to healthcare. We're talking about common sense gun reform, reducing college debt, and those types of things. And that will set the stage for November, which is really the real contest that's on deck.
So, Dennis, the flip side of that is, of course, that the Republican stronghold, I guess, on politics in Oakland County is kind of slipping away. Of course, that doesn't mean that Republicans don't have opportunities and don't have a strong base in Oakland County. But I wonder what it does look like from that side of the political spectrum. What is the state of the Republican Party in Oakland County? And I guess what's the strategy to adapt to the changes that are taking place?
Well, you know, as you and Commissioner Woodward have pointed out, really since 2008, we've seen Oakland County go from being a red county to being a purple county to now, you know, pretty solidly blue. And what you see in Oakland County is very similar to what you see in other areas of the country, in that even within the Republican Party, there is a divide between the more rural voters and then the urban suburban divide. And so you see, you know, Republican voters in areas such as, you know, Farmington Hills, Novi, Rochester, those areas, their focus has remained what it was going back to 2008. And it is the quality of life issues. It's, you know, as you were talking with Zach about education and crime issues and things of that. When you look at other areas of Oakland County, maybe up in Oxford and, you know, Holly and a little bit of, you know, Oakland County Oakland Township and a little bit on the western side, the issues that they want to see their candidates focus on is just a little bit different. And so, you know, even when you look at the map, going back to the general election in 18 and in 20, you can see where Republicans do well, and it's generally, more in the western section and the northern section, and where Democrats really rack up, and it happens to be where the majority of voters live, is really here in the central and then the south, southeastern area. So the Republican Party still, like nationally, still has a bit of differences in terms of what the focus should be on. And, you know, as long as we continue to have that fight, I think Democrats are going to, you know, stay very focused on what they're talking about and continue to have success here in Oakland County.
Yeah. I want to talk about the redraw, the redistricting that took place last year in anticipation of, you know, the next decade, and what we're looking at in terms of representation in Oakland County. Of course, the congressional boundaries look a bit different and have inspired some folks to run in different districts or pitted two congressional representatives against one another in the 11th district, but in the legislature they look different as well, and there are more districts that cross boundaries into Detroit from Oakland County. Dave Woodward, what do you make of that redraw and how it will affect Oakland County voters?
Yeah, I mean, I think this driving force and how voters show up in the polls is not going to really change. I think the governing and who's elected at that time and how that shows up. I mean, I think the verdict is out on the Independent Redistricting Commission. Like, is this going to give us fair lines and, as a result, a more representative government that's elected across the state? I think the verdict's out on that. I mean, the idea of going down from like four Congress people that, I mean, really cared about Oakland County to really shift into one. I mean, I'm personally and selfishly, I'm like a little like concerned about that. That being said.
So you preferred that the county be kind of divided up the way it was on the old map?
Ultimately, I like the outcome of it. I mean, we went to four Democratic members of Congress, two that were absolutely critical to flipping a majority. I think like more people like advocating for and some of the geopolitical needs of a local community, I mean, it's helpful. But broadly, I mean, what you're talking about, as the leadership in Oakland County has moved, I mean, again, as we've trended to be a more Democratic county, our partnership with our surrounding communities, particularly Detroit, Wayne County, and surrounding areas, I think that the new lines lend itself to an opportunity to be working together to approach these problems in it with a regional lens, which is absolutely critical. I mean, Zach was talking earlier about education needs and everything. These are things that cross across county boundaries. When we talk about, I mean, jobs, healthcare, all these types of things, these are regional solutions. It is short term, particularly for the electeds that are running right now or find themselves running in seats that are dramatically different than what they were before. There's, I mean, some pain there, but that will get like sussed out in the primary, and then there's no doubt in my mind that that we're going to rack up more wins going forward, particularly over the next decade, because of kind of the fundamentals that are in place and the infrastructure that has been put, I mean, has really been built over the last 20 years to help ensure that.
Yeah. Dennis Darnoy, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about the redraw and your reaction to it. I'm interested both from your position as a Republican political consultant in Oakland County and of course other places, but also just as a citizen, this idea of us drawing the lines instead of the politicians and coming up with the way that people will be represented. I wonder what you make of that process and what it means for Oakland County.
Well, I think I was surprised that there weren't more legal challenges to the map, to be perfectly honest about it. For me, and kind of echoing a little bit, about Commissioner Woodward was saying, there are so many county breaks and so many, lines, district lines that previously stood under the former, governance, which were the APOL rules. Looking at what they did, congratulations and kudos to them for standing up and taking on this challenge. Again, the maps, the way they are drawn, certainly provides challenges if you're looking at it from a data standpoint. I think it possibly could be a model moving forward for an independent, citizen-led commission. In terms of, Oakland County and looking at it, obviously the biggest congressional fight in Oakland County is going to be on the Democratic side, a primary between, Representative Levin and Representative Stevens in the new 11th. So that's going to be, fascinating to see. One of the things that's disappointing for Michigan is obviously we lost a seat in Congress. And as we do so, we lose seniority in Congress, and the placement on committees is incredibly important on issues, especially, if you're talking about Great Lakes issues or things of that. So that's a little bit disappointing. But when we look here at Oakland County there, Democrats have a real opportunity to do something that they haven't done in a very, very long time. And that's take control of the state Senate. And there are few open seats here in the Senate here in Oakland County that potentially could swing control to the Democrats. Also, interesting to me is there's talk at a national level that there could be a Republican wave and that the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate may go back into Republican control. It will be very interesting to see if that wave takes place here in Michigan. Mm. And if it does, some of these districts that an independent commission has drawn, and they've drawn it so that there is partisan fairness, if there's a Republican wave in Michigan, you would expect to see some of these very tight, maybe, Dem leaning by 2 or 3 percentage point seats, maybe all of a sudden come in play and put the potential for taking the majority back for Democrats in play. Again, not sure that's necessarily the case here in Michigan, but it will be interesting to see, because the seats have been drawn in such a way that if there's a wave for either party, you are going to see changes of control in those seats.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking with Dave Woodward and Dennis Darnoy about what's going on in Oakland County in advance of the primary elections on August 2nd. I want to get going with you on the phones and on social media as well. Call and tell us what you've seen in terms of the change in Oakland County politics. Do you live in Oakland County? Talk about the things you want to see happen from politicians. What kinds of things do you want them to be prioritizing? What things are you looking at as you make your choices? for candidates on August 2nd. Also, let us know if you like the new districts, if you're voting in a different district this time than you did before, and how that changes your thinking about how to cast your ballot. As always, the number on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page, put comments there, or go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
WDET is your place for open dialogue.
The music you love.
Real news and in-depth analysis.
And cultural experiences. The sound of Detroit.
101.9 WDET is your public radio station.
You are listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We're talking about Oakland County politics and the changes in Oakland County politics with Dave Woodward, who's chair of the Oakland County Board of Commissioners, and with Dennis D'Arnoy, a Republican political consultant. This is the beginning of our discussions about politics in the region in advance of the August 2nd primaries. We're going to talk to a number of candidates in congressional races in Wayne and Oakland and Macomb. We'll also talk about the races for the legislature in all three jurisdictions and kind of talk about what's changing in each area in terms of the redraws from the redistricting commission. The districts look really different in a lot of places, and lots of people find themselves in different voting jurisdictions than they used to be. Are you happy about that? Do you think that that was done well and appropriately, or are you concerned that that the new lines don't reflect the kind of representation that we want to have here in Southeast Michigan? Want to hear from you on the phones. 313-577-1019 is the number. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media, to Facebook or to Twitter, and put comments there, and we can work you into the conversation. I want to talk about some specific races here before we get to listeners. Dave, some of the bigger names in the Democratic Party in Oakland County are State Senator Mallory McMorrow, who has enjoyed a rather viral popularity in the last few months, and Representative Mary Manoogian, who's from Birmingham. Let's talk about the races, though, that they face in August. These are districts that look a little different than they did before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, Senator McMorrow, and I want to applaud her. I mean, that gave voice to what so many people were, I mean, wanting to say, to respond to these baseless, attacks that the Republican Party continues to throw. And frankly, the more that they do that, the more the Democrats are going to win. The Senate seat that, that she picked up, really the first Democrat to do so in 2018. I mean, it's going to span, as we're talking about others, between Oakland and Wayne County. She's been this incredible champion for all the things that the Democratic voters want to see. They want their government to set the stage for people to have an opportunity to succeed, to expand equality for everyone. And I firmly believe that she's going to be very victorious come election day. The Representative Manoogian's district, as you mentioned, this is a district that's going to spawn, is going to draw all the way from Birmingham all the way down to Detroit, and you've got a pretty wide open primary there. And I think this is a contest to who do you trust to fight for these fundamental principles the most, and then the victor of the primary is most likely to be elected in November.
Yeah. Dennis D'Arnoy, are there other legislative races that have your attention this time that maybe wouldn't have seemed so interesting just a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, sure, we have we have a seat in the West Bloomfield area that is currently represented by a Republican representative. And, you know, that's a seat that, because of redistricting, has, you know, become a little bit more competitive. We have another seat out on the western side, which is, you know, HD 54, which is an open seat. And one, again, the way it's drawn, you know, has a lot of partisan fairness, and it becomes a competitive seat. So, you know, when we're talking about, can, you know, Dems retake the state house, can they retake, you know, the state Senate, these seats here in Oakland County are going to be, you know, incredibly important when it comes to adding up the final tally. And again, I mean, we've all talked about this. It's great to win a primary, but both parties have to put forth candidates who are going to be able to win in the general. And when you all of a sudden have a seat that is, you know, used to maybe be plus 7 or 8 R and is now plus 2 R, it really matters who comes out of the primary. Sure. And so, you know, as we've been looking, I mean, right now, you know, absentee ballots have gone out and people are responding. And as we've seen, traditionally, you know, Republican primary voters are going to, you know, show up at the ballot box. And, you know, in the Democratic districts, we're seeing, you know, good absentee ballot turnout. So right now, the primaries across Oakland County are looking, you know, the traditional voters, what we'd expect. So, you know, it's watching these seats and seeing which candidates come out of it and then how competitive they're going to be in a general election.
Stephen, if I can add one thing,
I think it's also important to realize, like who's in the field in these primaries, in the Democratic side and the Republican side. I mean, I'll just take it down to a very local level on my county commission. Virtually every one of my Republican colleagues are being challenged by the far right, something I didn't even see coming in this side. You thought that they would try to harness the momentum and try to build it going forward, but you had this happening not only here in Oakland County, but across the entire state. And I think to Dennis's point, right, that the victor in the primary is going to dictate the stage and how November's set.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get to our listeners here. Let's start with 10 in Troy. 10, welcome to the show.
Hey, I hear things about a potential red wave here coming up, but I'm living in Oakland County, and when I'm talking to people right now, the major issues seem like the Republicans are on the wrong side of. I mean, people are concerned about reproductive rights. People are really concerned about whether or not there was an actual insurrection last January and whether or not anyone's going to see any serious, you know, justice for that. And right now, people are getting hit in their pocketbook, but people are getting shot in their pocketbook, literally. And the whole issue of guns is way front of mind. And it seems like the Republicans have come down on the wrong side of all of those issues. And I'm just wondering, you know, it doesn't feel like any of that's working in their favor.
Huh. Ten, I really appreciate the call and, of course, your perspective from living there in Oakland County. Dennis Darnoy, this seems a perfect question for you. I mean, you and I have talked before about the challenges inside the Republican Party with regard to, you know, people who back former President Donald Trump versus people who are, I guess, more traditional. That tension seems to be at a particularly heightened state right now. What Ten is saying, though, is that it's pulling the party in a way that pulls it away from those kind of independent voters who are so key.
Yeah, and as you said, we've talked about this before, and you know, especially here in Oakland County, when you talk about the reversal of Roe, you know, that and then obviously the numbers that are being bandied about for the number of signatures to get the reproductive rights amendment on the ballot. It is very challenging for Republicans when they're trying to relitigate the past, you know, past elections, when they're trying to excuse inexcusable behavior, when, you know, candidates are out there talking about, you know, can we just get past this? And yet, you know, in our own backyard at Oxford High School, we have, you know, a very serious issue that occurred. And it's not something that you should just say, hey, let's get past this. So, you know, the red wave certainly is something that is playing out more on a national stage. And as I said, you know, previously, I think the more that Republicans are trying to maintain this sugar high of the Trump years, the less likely it is that they're going to find success in an area like Oakland County. And I've advocated for this for you know, a decade or so, that it has to be a focus on the issues that quite now, you know, quite honestly, right now, the Democrats are winning on. I think there are areas within, you know, education, within the economy, you know, within crime. I think there are issues that Republican candidates have been able to campaign on in the past. But, you know, currently the party wants to focus on other things. And quite honestly, the general public, and especially here in Oakland County, are not supportive of that. And again, going back to the Dobbs decision, mm-hmm. I've said that traditional conservative Republicans, if they were you know, really wanted to get in front of this, they could put together a whole life agenda that focuses on a number of things, you know, that focuses on the mothers, on the children, on the families. Mm. But if we're going to sit here and just talk about punitive measures and restricting interstate commerce, you know, that's a losing battle. And like we just said at the beginning of the show, we saw this change take place going back to around 2008. Mm-hmm. And if we continue on this path, it's going to be, you know, another decade or so.
Yeah. Okay, Dennis Darnay and Dave Woodward, it's always great to have you and your experience and expertise in conversations here on Detroit Today. Thanks so much to both of you for joining us.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Stephen, and thank you, David.
Right, thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk with author Frederick Joseph about his new book, Patriarchy Blues. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.